Hello, this is Richard Outram, and welcome to the Prepare for Growth podcast series, bite-sized wisdom for leadership and personal development. So thank you for taking time out to join me. I'm so grateful for this unique opportunity. And in this week's Prepare for Growth podcast, we're going to be talking about the gift of giving. So I'm thrilled to introduce George Ruska, Chief Service Officer for the City of Fort Lauderdale. We'll be talking about corporate social responsibility, philanthropy, and volunteer efforts. George's goal is to strengthen network partnerships of engaged business leaders, civic associations, and citizens that volunteer service to address pressing issues in our communities. And George's tagline, volunteerism, the spirit of Fort Lauderdale.
So what inspired you, or what inspires you each and every day to serve the community?
Look, when I'm sitting here right now, it's actually my job, okay, that inspires me because I meet great people every single day. I mean, maybe not in COVID right now as many times, right?
Yes.
But you and I talking right now is a special event for me, right? Number one, okay, it's like it gets my word out a little bit, but yeah. That's thing, okay, and it's really like you are making a difference for me right now because I normally don't agree to podcasts or anything like that. So for me, it's like a personal breakthrough to communicate with you and the world out there and saying, look, there is so many opportunities out there, right? So my job is really cool because I meet people that let me do it was more of a personal growth right now. Every opportunity I have, every time I feel a resistance to do something, and I have to look at it, it's like, what is it that's holding me back?
Yeah.
And say, it's just that part of my life that's not there anymore. I have to look, it's like, what's the opportunity out here to connect with you and the world out there? And maybe, okay, someone listened to this, okay, and that says, wow, that makes sense. I didn't think about it that way beforehand. And if they change that one life one time, that's really cool. And
so
that's what the beauty of my job is, okay, and that gets me out every single day to do it. And to be honest, when I started out, it was a little bit more selfish because when I started out, okay, it was like, okay, it's like my limiting belief helped me. It's like no one listens. I can't do it, right? So I had to work it up slowly to have a little service project with the Rotary Club in 2006 and then a little bigger one afterwards. And it took me 5 years to get to our first Power of One Hour event where we had 275 people coming out to clean up a neighborhood, paint things. And we said, okay, what would it take for 1 hour and you and I and a couple of hundred of our friends to say we do something for 1 hour?
Yeah.
The same as going shopping, is the same as having coffee with someone, having lunch with someone. But we had 275 people out, okay, cleaning up a neighborhood, trimming trees, okay, fixing fences. We painted a house. It took a little bit more than 1 hour, but it was really great to have them all come together. We set up 10 stations, we had 10 team leaders, and horn sounded, and everyone went their separate directions, and for 1 hour we cleaned, right? Okay, and we all came back. So it was a personal selfish reason I started with, because I looked at my personal growth, right?
Yeah.
But over the time, it was 2011, so 9 years later, it's like, look, it's not about me anymore, because I love to see the light in people's eyes, okay, when they say, wow, that was really cool. Right. When they actually get something for themselves, I talk to them. I spend some time with people and saying, look, what are you passionate about? My job is not about plugging you into this pre-existing condition. I'm not a hospital where I need that many helpers. I'm not the animal shelter that needs to take care of the animals. I don't do that. Right. But I'm looking at this, like, how can I empower you to do something that's important to you in your life, in your community, and send you on your way, okay, with the support structure that you need, but also the confidence that you will make the difference, not me.
That's such a
part of my job, you know, and that's the fun part of that.
Absolutely, George, and that's really important, but I really want to kind of drill into that point because particularly in many, many businesses that you see, you got a plethora of choices to do good, whether it's charitable work, philanthropy, volunteer efforts, you know, it comes under the guise of corporate social responsibility, right? But we have many, many choices. And what you're saying to me is, you know, leadership, figure out what the passion is from your standpoint. What is the company and the leadership passion? And George, through, you know, through the service offerings of the city of Fort Lauderdale as an example, will make it happen for you. All right, and we're going to drill into a little bit more about that. So specifically, George, in the city of Fort Lauderdale, what would you say is the most pressing community need?
Okay. When you look at the media, okay, and you look at TV, you probably know that traffic is one of the key points, that our sewer pipes are a key point, okay, and that downtown growth is something.
Yes.
But we can't address that through volunteering, right, okay? That's actually long-term planning. But that's where volunteering comes in, okay, that anyone, okay, that lives in the city is a voice for their neighborhood. So community activism, okay, has to be going. Okay, if you're passionate about where you live and you want to make a difference about your sewage pipes, then be on the board, okay, of advisory boards that we have in the city. We have 36 different advisory boards, from cemetery to the parks bond that we just took on. Now you can make a difference there and volunteer for that. So actually, even though I just said, okay, it's something I can't do about because I'm an employee of the city, but you as a resident of the city can take an active partnership role by becoming an advisory board member for education and beach bonds and all these other things. So please get involved, especially when you're a business, right? If your business, okay, provides, let's say, cleaning materials to the city, right? The sustainability department, okay, probably would love to hear from you if you have alternative methods, okay, to reduce, okay, the toxicity. See now my German comes out, toxicity of the product, right? So think about, okay, what can we do, right? So every person has a passion somewhere. Even if it's only sitting at home, relaxing on the couch, you're passionate about it, right? Yeah. So every single person has it. But once you really get someone engaged, okay, and you extract from them what they're passionate about and then guide them in the right direction, okay, that's where really the community comes in, okay, and the community spirit comes in. So any business leader, okay, is really a shepherd of their own community at work.
Yes.
Right? So if you're passionate about education, if you're passionate about sustainability as a small business leader, okay, please instill that in the corporate makeup, okay, of your institution.
Yes.
But engage people, okay, and say, look, this is what I'm standing about, but I would like you to be involved, okay, in the community. If you share my passion, okay, for sustainability, please let's help out, okay, with Paddle with a Purpose, where we clean the waterways or go to a beach cleanup. It doesn't cost anything. If you can afford funding, okay, then let's support some of the equipment that we need, some of the nonprofit organizations that provide the same services. So that's an opportunity for businesses to really make a difference. And guess what? Giving back is good business in the community that you live in. So if you have a branch of a national company, please, okay, give back of what you do, right? So PNC, I mean, you yourself, okay, it's about financial literacy.
Yeah.
I mean, I applaud anyone that connects, okay, business with giving back, right? Because how much better can it be than a professional that cares about a community to teach a high schooler about financial literacy and the importance, okay, of what you do is affecting your credit, okay? Unfortunately, that is one of the downfalls that we have, that we don't prepare our youth, okay, for that.
Yeah.
So anyone can do a huge difference anywhere in this community, okay? And for me, there is needs around the world, but I care about the needs that are across the street from me. So look, anyone can do something, but look at what you're passionate about. And if the leadership is not that passionate, then allow, okay, your company employees to express their passion and say, look, what do we want to do? Allow them to pick a couple of community service projects that might not cost anything, but make a huge difference in the esprit de corps for your outfit, because the more we give back, the better we feel, right? I mean, there's statistics out there. If you Google right now, it's like volunteering makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Okay. If you feel like so, go volunteer and your spirits are up and your energy level is up. And guess what? I think they even have a study that shows you're going to live a little bit longer.
Absolutely. So you know, on that, George, you hit a really good point, because, you know, coming from the kind of corporate world, you know, just much more intentional, you know, programs around, you know, helping the community. And you mentioned, you know, promoting volunteerism, you know, to employees. Companies can do that. In other words, our company has done it before, you know, offering, you know, time off for volunteer type activities. Collaborate with other businesses. It doesn't have to be just on your own. You can collaborate with other businesses for a greater cause. you know, donate. You mentioned before, donate your product or service is a wonderful way to do it, right? You know, and ask your employees, to your point, ask your employees to charter and sponsor. All right, you could donate, and it's okay to start small as well, right? It's okay that you don't have to boil the ocean when you give when it's community give back. It can be starting small, and who knows where it goes. But there are various approaches and methods businesses can employ to do.
Just call me, okay, and we find a way of getting you together at the city here. So if you operate in the city, I would love to talk to any business owner about how they can give back about something that's important to them. Absolutely. I don't want them to plug into what we have necessarily. If you want to buy from a menu, that's fine. You can get a number 3 if you want to, or you can get a burger medium well done, okay, with tomato and ketchup and hold the mustard, you know. So we can custom make something, okay, that doesn't cost you anything. If you have some financial wherewithal, then we would love a donation to my partnering organizations. I don't want to take it into the city. But if I can work with one of my partner organizations and they get a small donations to continue with their mission, that would be great. I mean, I love doing that. There's so many great people that care about things in our community. We are blessed to live in a country, okay, that is one of the richest in the world. We're blessed that we live in a city that is one of the top in our nation, okay, that I think we're well off. And especially, I mean, if you look around the country, okay, we don't have the burning needs that some of the places like Detroit and Birmingham have, or Baltimore, okay, where you have a population decline when you had 1 million people 30 years ago, and now you're down to 600,000. Those are issues, okay, that hopefully we will never have to tackle, because there are big social issues and societal issues. And so thank God, okay, Fort Lauderdale, we're doing well. And thank you businesses for supporting us. Thank you our neighbors, okay, that are listening, okay, for supporting us, because you make it work.
Here, George, I couldn't have said it better. So what programs has the city of Fort Lauderdale deemed a success, George, and why?
It's like when you look at it, it's like the city gives me a little bit of a free rein, right? So My job description is like two ways. I have two roles. Number one, okay, I'm supposed to engage people to improve the services, enhance the services that the city is providing. So if you would like to volunteer your time to accounting department or engineering department, welcome to the city, right? We would welcome any volunteer that would like to help out. On the other hand, okay, it's more creating partnerships and programs around issues that we normally don't have any jurisdiction over, right? So think about homelessness. Normally we don't deal with homelessness. When I started out 7 years ago, we had hands off. Now we have a homeless department. Okay, we are sponsoring, we just had a couple of hundred people in a hotel to protect them from COVID. So I mean, our city is very progressive with the homeless issues, trying to assist, putting programs together with private industry, with Mission United, the United Way, okay, to benefit the homeless. So I have a little bit of influence on that, about education, getting mentors to schools, about getting the books into the community, about the library system that we're doing. It's about neighborhood empowerment, neighborhood beautification. It's about health and wellness. So it's a huge plethora around things that we normally don't have jurisdiction over, right? So what is the real focal point? It shifts every year, right? A few years ago, it was about empowering the community to do something. And I created 4 community service days, okay, in Fort Lauderdale, where we get volunteers to go in the community, help the HOA do community service project for their community. So if someone wants to clean up the street is one thing. If they want to help a homeowner that was a proud participant in the homeowners association but is getting too old to maintain the house, okay, to the standard that they normally would like to, then let's get some volunteers together to help the HOA, to help that person, okay, to paint the house. What was it? One of the first service projects I ever did with my Rotary Club was Little Miss Moffat's house, okay, actually. 82-year-old, one petite little lady, maybe she was 5'1" or something like that if she was standing tall. She's 82 years old, white hair. She lived in the house with her father since 1969, close to Broward General Hospital, right? So the next door neighbor wants to sell the house. So it's like code enforcement, police, okay, she's not maintaining the house. Can you do something about it, right? So the code enforcement officer felt really bad because Mrs. Moffat is the sweetest old lady that you ever can imagine. And so he said, George, you're with the Rotary Club, right? It's like, yeah. It's like, well, can you help out? It's like, yeah, absolutely. Let's go and take a look at it. So we took a look at it. So I called a local pressure cleaning business. It's like, can you donate your time, okay, to do that? The Rotary Clubs, and the gentleman says, absolutely, okay. I'll be out there, be pressure cleaning the house for you. The Rotary Club said, absolutely, let's buy the paint. I got someone else to donate some supplies, and we had someone else donate water and refreshments and stuff like that. And we had 15 people at that day at Miss Moffat. And Miss Moffat is 82 years old, okay, and she was very energetic because she said, George, you missed a spot. And then it's like two hours later, George, you missed a spot over there. She was very grateful, but she had me back three more times after our volunteer spot was over to finish up the little things that we couldn't do at the day off, right? So it was a really cute event, okay, but I mean, to see the community come together and everyone knew Mrs. Moffat, right? So, hey, Mrs. Moffat, how are you doing? It brought people together in the community on the street. It got people saying, wow, that was really cool that the city did it, that the Rotary Club helped out, but most importantly, that the neighbors came together and say, hey, and help Mrs. Moffat, right? I mean, that was the beauty of the whole thing, bringing the community together, right? The city slogan is, we build community. How much better than that can you get, right? It was businesses coming together, donating something. It was people donating their time. It was just a few hours when we did it, but it's like, those are the magic moments, okay, that I would love to line up every single day of the year if I can. Because the more we do that, the more we feel like we're part of a community. It's not that the city's telling us what to do. It's no, we're working with the city to address the issues that we see in a positive manner. Might it be, okay, blight issued? Might it be changes in the way we want to do government? But that's now, there's different ways of volunteering, but it's like, that's where the power comes together. And when we share that with one another, it inspires other people to participate, right?
And it's indigenous, and it's coming from the inside. It's emotion. Right. It's lovely. It's a social mechanism. For you know, the audience who are listening, George has just got so much passion. He's got smiles on his face when he talks about these very, very fulfilling experiences. So thank you for that, George. This is great. So the follow-up question to that is, what programs do you think are not getting the traction that you desire, and what can be done about those? Is there anything that you see out there that you wish we could get more traction in the city of
Fort Worth? Wait. I wasn't done with the successful ones yet. Look, I'm looking at our outline here. It's like, look, let's do that. There's one thing that I always wanted to do, okay? It's kind of a spin-off what we just talked about, right?
Yes.
It's the concept is a neighbor ambassador, right? Yeah. And then a neighbor ambassador is someone, okay, that is like a liaison between the neighborhood and the city. And so the vision was, okay, it kind of is an outcropping of the story just told you about Mrs. Moffat, right? There was a code enforcement action you need to take care of, right? The community stepped up and says, we're going to help Mrs. Moffat, right? So that's like the code enforcement issues to address blight issues. So the neighbor ambassador has like three objectives, right? Number one, if we have code issues like that, let's not call code enforcement first. Let's call George first and say, George, here's the issue that we have. Can we help Ms. Moffat instead of putting her between the rock and the hard place? Let's call call George up so we can help Mrs. Moffat to get the house painted so we have a community event coming together. Right? So it helps the neighbor on the street. It's like the one that was selling it. It helps him, okay, to make sure, okay, that the house looks nice, that the neighborhood looks nice, that people are coming in and saying, oh, I want to buy his house. The second part is like a lot of times we don't know when a hurricane is coming or a disaster is about to come or hit us, right? We don't know actually who our neighbors are. Right. So a lot of times we want to make sure that the people that live on our streets are taken care of. So the neighbor ambassador would be going out there and knocking on the door. But in today's society, in today's climate, a lot of people don't open the door, right? That's right. So it's like we need someone that lives there. So the concept would be that you get training about the things that we do. You get a Studio Fort Lauderdale hat. You get a name tag that people know that you're legitimate. You get a City of Fort Lauderdale City Ambassador shirt. And so that people feel comfortable when they look at you through the door, okay, I can talk to this guy, right? And so that we go down the street in case of a hurricane, it's like, please observe, okay, that we need to evacuate. Okay, please make sure, like, if you're on the vulnerability index or need special assistance, let's get you on the vulnerability index so that the fire and emergency rescue personnel can get you to you first after an event happens. Then the only way, okay, that we really can help you, if you evacuate, it would be cool that I know that if you do, then I can keep an eye on the house, right? So now think about something did happen and we had a catastrophic event where a hurricane damaged homes. So as a neighbor ambassador, I would be staying home and hunkering down, but my first action would be, I would be the one, okay, because I had special training now through the city, I would go out and kind of do a rudimentary assessment on my block or my street.
Yeah.
And guess what? Now it's like, Richard, if you evacuated, right, it's like, let me snap a quick picture because you want to know, okay, what happened to your house.
Yeah. Right?
The only way you find out, you either call our emergency response teams or our EOC, or you can call me.
Yeah.
Right. If I know you have your cell phone number, it's like, Rich, I'm going to take a picture, Richard. Hey, your house is fine, or please call State Farm, one or the other, right? So yeah. At least you got peace of mind about what your house looks like, right? So that would be a benefit to the city because if the hurricane hits, then a lot of phone calls are going to come right in after. It's like, what's going on? What's the situation on my street? Is it safe? Is it not safe? But we can give you that answer much quicker by having that personal interaction between one neighbor and the next, right? So that would be a beautiful thing. And then you have heard about sometimes the neighborhood watch, which is mostly like a crime watch, right? That's what we normally affiliated with it, right? I don't want people like driving around like vigilantes, right? But Richard, if you are leaving town, you're going on a 2-week vacation. If I see a pickup truck in front of your house, okay, this is young gentleman moving out your prized TV and some of your fanciful art, then I would be calling. It's like, hi, Richard, is it your nephew, okay, moving the stuff out of your house with your consent, or should I call 911?
Yeah.
Right? Only if I know you can I make that call, right? So I'd rather look at that only by connecting with you on a personal level as a neighbor ambassador will I be able to make those changes. But the hard part is, okay, that a lot of people are in their little box, okay, of life, okay, especially now with COVID, okay, we're all like hunkered down. It's like, please don't talk to me. Don't come even close to me at all, okay, and please always keep your mask on. But imagine, okay, once we get out, okay, we will get out of this situation again. It's just human nature. But what would it be like, okay, if you actually know your neighbor and have more of a relationship and then, okay, you have a little street festival once in a while, you get to know everyone else, that you actually know that when your child comes home, you're running late, you can have your teenager go to your neighbor's house as a safe home. There's so much benefit, okay, to that concept. But because we're all in our little box right now, okay, it's so hard to get people to do that. It's to get many people together on our HOA in one room and agree upon something, good luck.
No, I tell you, George, you raise just an excellent point. And my wife and I and our family, we have that personal experience. We've actually been living in the same neighborhood, George, for the past 26 years. And we've had many opportunities to move outside of the West Miramar area. And the thing that's kept us here is we have the original owners in the community. And we are like family. They're all around. I mean, all our neighbors, our direct neighbors, they're all have been here for 26 years as well. They've seen our sons being born, grow up, go to college. You know, when we go on vacation, George, they're watching the house. So it's just a beautiful thing. You don't hear that much in, unfortunately, South Florida. It's a very transient state, and you hear neighbors complaining they don't know one another, etc. But what you say is such a powerful thing because they're like your family. They watch out for you. And, you know, June, the life's ups and downs, they're there for you just like your own family.
And that's what I would love to see more. There's one thing, though, okay, they have noticed, right? when new neighborhoods come up, okay, and we don't have that issue in Fort Lauderdale because we are the old established neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
So if you're still living with your friends and family, you're over 80 years old, okay, like that, what you, in the situation that you just described, everyone yeah. here would be at least 80-something year old, okay, and yeah. they're the kids of the people that lived in the neighborhood, okay, when it was a new neighborhood. But what I noticed is in some of the neighborhoods, the original people band together because of the first owners.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
The new people moving in don't have the same experience and they're not part of that group. Is that the case with you?
That's exactly right. That's like, you know, it's a very friendly neighborhood and so people walk around. It's a lovely community. So, you know, it's young families and us folks have been around for 26 years. It's nice, but, you know, as I said, there's probably, you know, 100 feet either way where we know all the neighbors, the original folks. And you get folks who kind of moved in from time to time. People get to know them, but it's not the same level of connectivity. It's lovely and it's nice, but it's not the same as knowing someone for 26 years, right? And the ups and downs of their life.
Marvelous, okay? That's the best of our communities.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay for fostering that kind of environment in your community.
No, thank you so much. So, yeah. George, when I first met you, when we first spoke, we had a real common passion, which is why I really was so excited to have you on this podcast. And it was around, you know, education and literacy. You mentioned the financial literacy thing that I have a passion around. But this is your thing now, right? So I want to go down the path of action for literacy. You mentioned, you know, the small lending libraries that you've been a part mm-hmm. of. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, action for literacy and your passion around education.
You know, it started with a sheet of plywood that we had left over from a Rotary Club event.
Yeah. Right?
And in 2014, the city received a grant and for $5,000 to build little libraries and put them in the parks. So the Parks Department called me up and says, do you have some volunteers that can help us build these things?
Yeah.
Right. So back to the sheet of plywood, I had a couple of volunteers. I said, what can we do with this piece of plywood to make it a maximum size little library, okay, that really would work for us, okay, that we can have bigger books and things like that. So in 2014, we built about 13 of the 16 that they installed, and that was through the volunteers that we had, right? And it was a wonderful event. We worked with some of the Parks and Rec facilities and kids in the neighborhood, but guess what? That was it. The grant ran out, okay, and that was the end of the story for 2 years. And then in my office, one day I talked to Joanne Block. She was a librarian. She goes at me and she was a little stern looking there in this in her face. And she says, George, you know, you're the city. It's like I'm one of the 2,400 employees. No, you're the city. You got the power. It's like, what power do I have? It's like, you have all these opportunities to give away books. I said, I don't have any books. We don't do education. That's a school board. That's a library. No, you got the power. It's like, what do you mean? I was like, you could have all the libraries over there, okay, and expand it, okay, and put more of those in there. Like, yeah, but that we don't have funding for that. It's like, look, why don't we just try it out, okay, and get a few books? So that was on a Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock, right? So silly me, I'm sharing this, okay, with Alan Garber, who is a good friend. He's a retired accountant. So Alan goes like, you know, I know someone. So Alan comes in with 500 children's books on Thursday and said, here's the books. It's like, Joan, what are we gonna do now? It's like, well, you have two events coming up. One was the Open Streets event, okay, that shut down Andrews Avenue from Broward to 4th Street. And we had like a carnival set up on there. I was like, well, you know, something we probably could pop up a tent and give away books, have a little reading corner, let's do that. But also the same time, the same day, was an event that was Big Toys, Big Trucks, where hundreds of kids come out all the time, okay, and they look at the police cars, the fire trucks, and the dump trucks, and the elevators, all the excavators. It was a real fun event. So I called about 10 of my volunteers up. Do you have time to do this? It's like, yeah. So it's like, okay, that was on Thursday, right? So on Saturday, we had two teams going out, and on Friday had bought this little Adirondack chair so mom can sit there, and we had the tiny ones, okay, for the children, and the concept was, okay, we made up this little sign saying, look, we want you to read to your child right here for 20 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. Read a book to your child here right now, and we give you a free book. And if you don't read, we're going to give you a free book anyway, right? The whole concept is sit down with your child, right? And that's like, why a computer, why a book? It's like a computer is nice, it has pictures, it flashes back and forth, but the book is something that you both have to hold in your hand.
Yeah.
Intimately closer, okay? Your child is going to be with you within a few inches, okay? You're cuddling with them, okay, to read the book. Look, we are social animals. We need connectivity. We need touching, okay? Children, okay, that are loved and cuddled, okay, when they're a baby, okay, will be much more adjusted, okay, when they're adults. Children that are not getting cuddled, okay, there is all kinds of proof and research behind it, okay? And guess what? I am a hugger, right? So with my volunteers, okay, and it's naturally on a permissible basis. Some people don't want to be hugged, okay, so I can't. But it's just that feeling of like we are connected personally, okay, as friends, okay, and it's a really good feeling to do that. So the whole concept is that book brings you closer to your child. Okay, and the only thing I can ask you to spend time with your child, it's your child, not mine. But if I can provide an opportunity for you to do so, how wonderful is that? And if a business says, okay, you know, I want to spread that, why not collect, okay, for our book drives, right? Do a book drive at your business. If you're a real estate company, it's like give back instead of sending out your normal flyers. It's like, I just sold this house. It's like, no, I care about the children in our neighborhood. I want to adopt a library. I'm going to put one here, and I'm going to be going through the neighborhood collecting books, okay, so that your child can read. Why not focus on our neighborhood, okay? It's good business for a realtor to do that, connect on a personal basis, because you might not be able to sell the house today, but if I know that Richard is the best real estate agent in the neighborhood because he also cares about my children, guess who's going to get the listing next year? That's Richard. Because he cares about my child, he cares about giving back to the community. And so it's just relationship building, okay? And that's what people forget sometimes. It's not advertising. Networking is like, Richard, my name is, okay, I do that, and then you turn around, okay, and there's no connectivity left. How many people actually follow up on a networking call nowadays, right? What's effective?
Yeah.
Relationship building is, okay, networking sometimes, if you don't do it right, is not. Networking is about relationship building, right? So guess what? Okay, it goes back to our mom sitting with a child, dad sitting with a child. And business, any business can empower that to happen more often by sponsoring books. And you can do a book drive of a gently used book. Look, if your child, and think about statistics here, right? And that really got me on. That really is like what the passion get created, right? Think about a fifth grader that grew up in a household, okay, where the average income is over 100,000. That fifth grader, statistically speaking, will have about 200 books in their personal library by fifth grade.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
In the neighborhoods, okay. Now, I mean, listeners, if you can't see me pointing half a mile west of where I'm sitting right now, it is Walk Elementary School, right? And there, okay, the average income is just a little bit over 30,000. And statistically speaking, that neighborhood has 6 books for the fifth grader's library, right? Wow. So discrepancy. Now think about the impact, okay, and so the early literacy, that my passion is that every child in our city, in our county, in our state, in our nation, our world should be able to read by the end of third grade, right? It's so critical because every social ill that anywhere in the world exists is because of kids not being able to read.
Right? Yeah.
Because it's like, look, when you learn to read, okay, then, okay, in fourth grade, you read to learn. Yeah. Right? If you can't read by the end of third grade, you're going to sit there in the classroom. It's like, I don't know what's going on. So you fall behind in fourth grade. And then in fifth grade, it goes like, why go back to school? So truancy sets in. When you're sitting at home or when you're sitting at the park, what happens? You will be distracted by not so good influences, okay? And so guess what? We're going to have a higher rate of juvenile delinquency, juvenile pregnancy, all kinds of the things that we don't want in our society because the kid didn't read it in the third grade, right? Yep. You look at statistics right now, nationally, and I think the state does it too. The end of third grade, okay, the reading levels by the end of third grade determine how many jail cells we are planning for in 10 years. That's scary statistics to me, okay? If we can make a difference of our children not here, we don't have to incarcerate them when they're adults.
Right?
And if you think about on the east side of Fort Lauderdale, right, we have 16 elementary schools in Fort Lauderdale. The top three performing are Harbordale, Bayview, and Virginia Sherman Young. At the end of third grade, 86 to 92% of all children read well at grade level. They're passing that test, right? Now, again, I'm pointing west, okay, to Walker Elementary School. In 2013, and this is the scary part, what percentage of kids do you think, okay, were reading well at end of third grade?
Tiny, 5%, 5%, 10% maybe.
Oh, God, okay, you undercut me a little bit. Most people go like 40, 50%, right?
Yeah.
So it's not 5% yet, but it was 12%.
Wow.
Right? Think about it. It's like nine out of 10 kids read well on the east side, where we have a good advantage, the neighborhoods, right? They're reading well. The disadvantaged neighborhoods, the five lowest performing, they're all in the 20s, right? Dillard High School, Dillard Elementary School was 90% last year. Walker got up to 22%. North Fork, North Side, Thurgood Marshall, they're all in the 20s. Out of the lowest nine, none of them is over 40%, right? Do you know what that means, okay, for our city right now, for your tax dollar, for your business? That means, okay, that in 10 years, okay, we will have to collect all these juvenile delinquents, okay, that will be coming out of that 75% that does not read. There will be much higher rate of delinquency and all the social ills that go with it, which means teenage pregnancies, child abuse, spousal abuse, all that stuff that goes with it. And we as a society have to bear the cost of taking that child, okay, and that mother away from the home to put them into Kids in Distress, to take the abusive father, okay, put them into jail. What's the jail cost nowadays? Is that $50,000 to $100,000 a person?
Person, yeah.
Right, so imagine, okay, if just that moment, okay, when we're shifting, okay, that we get 20% to 40%, 40 to 60%, imagine how much money we're saving our taxpayer in 10 years, okay, and not collecting, okay, that child from delinquency.
Absolutely.
And how much it costs to run a child, okay, through the court system.
Yeah.
That's $5,000 by itself for the cop to pick that child up, bring him to court, and then release him.
Yeah.
Later, right? I mean, the whole system is so bizarre to say that if we would be investing heavily, okay, in early literacy, okay, to do everything we can, okay, to get books into children's hands would make a difference. But you know something? The sad part is getting the books into the child's hand is not the only problem. It does not move the needle that much. What moves the needle is that we need to have adult mentors and role models that read to the children. So a business, for example, could say, look, we're going to give every single person, okay, in our business 1 hour a week to go and join the United Way Reading Pulse program, right? And that's a very wonderfully organized program where you go into a school and you read one-on-one with a first grader. And I did that for 5 years, and it's just the most amazing experience you can have, okay? And this is like, sometimes, okay, volunteering is selfish because it makes you feel so good because you make a positive difference in someone else's life, right?
Yep.
It's by I love what I do. But I had this little kid, Roscoe, right? It's a little cute kid, okay? And he had the biggest brown eyes and the biggest smile on his face, right? So one time I came in, it's like, Roscoe, were you able to read this week? And he cast his head down and he shook his head and he's like, no. But then he snapped up his head really high and had this big smile on his face. He said, look, I didn't read, but I made up a story, okay, that my parents were sitting next to my bed and reading to me like my reading pal does.
Oh.
Right, do you know how I felt, how good that felt?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And it's like, okay, that's why we do stuff. And every single person can donate 1 hour of their time to help out a child like that, right? And remember when I talked to Alan Garber, my friend? He is a reading pal mentor too.
Yeah.
And he said he was having the same, well, actually has had a different experience, right? Because he was sitting with his kid and he said, look, I couldn't make a difference with him. He goes like, I am a boy. Okay. And he's like almost at the end of first grade. It was like he was pulling teeth. But then he was sitting there with him, okay, and then could see something, the kid's demeanor change, and something, okay, he was reading really well. There was that clicking moment that you really, that aha moment where there's like this shift, and he witnessed it while he was sitting there, right? He almost gave up on the program, but that moment says, look, that is the most magnificent thing that ever happened to me, because that child now can read, okay, I was part of that. He's going to be able to read at the end of third grade. Okay, he will be able to participate in fourth grade and keep up with his reading materials. And maybe he gets inspired by what he reads to become a scientist, okay, become a doctor, a teacher, right? Something, okay, that inspires him fourth and fifth and sixth grade to really take a venue, okay, and a productive life. Now back to business, right? It's like we have a problem in Fort Lauderdale and Broward County to find qualified people, okay, to help you out with your business, okay? 57% of all kids, okay, don't graduate in the 33311, or I'm sorry, there's a 57% graduation rate, so 33% of all kids don't graduate, okay, in the 33311 or 12 zip codes, right? But those are the kids, okay, that we need, okay, for some of the warehouse management stuff, okay? Those are kids, okay, we need for a productive business. But if the kid couldn't read in third grade, okay, and it's almost quasi illiterate still now and doesn't have any of the tools, okay, that we need to have them in business, okay, it really hurts the business, okay, to have and maintain quality employees. So, and then it's like, imagine, okay, we can get the reading level changed, and then, okay, the graduation rate changes because now kids are going to be more involved in what they want for life, right? Okay, and then instead of falling in love, okay, because you got a girl pregnant, okay, when we were 15 and you were kind of skipping school. I mean, you might think about, it's like, look, I worked hard, okay, in my math classes. I would like to become an accountant. Now you can either go and become part of a business or you can go to college. The choice is yours. I don't think every child needs to go to college. There is no need, okay? I think we're overdoing it as a society. But we need to have them ready to be productive members of our business and of our world. And if we don't get that ready, okay, and this all goes back to reading, okay, by third grade, I mean, try me in any one of the subjects anywhere, and if you go into the why, and track it back, it's because the kid didn't have the chance to read effectively at in our third grade, no matter what you're thinking about, right? And so that's my passion, right? So
that is great, George, and I think you've made a major call for action for businesses there. I mean, you know, and I truly believe that. I mean, I'm, you know, person, this is our connection, George, was on this really, really big topic. This can change the world. This can change societies. This can broaden horizons. And so what I'm hearing, George, at least in the city of Fort Lauderdale, and I know it's a much grander scale of issue here, the call for action to businesses is if we can all get involved in some type of mentorship, literacy program, where we can help these kids really kind of elevate themselves, learn to read, you know, horizons open up for them in their world and in society as well. I mean, I think that's...
Absolutely. Yeah, and look, I mean, we talked about the little libraries, right? Those are little bird-style homes, well, houses, boxes.
Yeah.
That we built, right? Now we have about 100 of them in the community. And our goal is to get about 150 throughout the city of Fort Lauderdale in targeted areas so that no child has to walk more than 10 minutes to get a free book, right? Now, if we have 150 of them in the community, I need about 100 to 150,000 books every year to keep them full.
Yeah. Right?
But think about when 2014, the Parks Department put them into parks where people adopted them. Yeah. And when I looked at the map there, they were all on the east side of town. They were at the parks and on the beach. They were in the affluent communities, okay, where the kids already can read. It was a convenience to beach and park goers at the time. So when Joanne Block was sitting here, it's like, give it to the kids that need it. It's like we switched it around to an early literacy intervention program.
Wow. Right? Yes.
You need to change the dynamics where the kids on the east side have 200 books that they can donate and take those used books, okay? So it doesn't cost anyone anything to take those 200 books, okay, and bring them over to our boxes so that the kid that has 6 books in their house, okay, can have another 10 if they wanted to. But the concept is, okay, give them a sense of integrity. If you take something, bring it back. You can take as many as you take, but bring it back. It's about financial responsibility. It's about personal responsibility, yeah, and integrity, yeah, right? Take one, read it, enjoy it, bring it back, share it with people, right?
Absolutely.
It's all the lessons that go with the Little Library program. And think about it. It started as a volunteer program because Joanne Block says, you're the city. And Alan Garber says, okay, I got 500 books. Right now, out of that, we created 250 books that we gave away that weekend. We have got the libraries now shifted around. Okay, instead of have 16 or 18 that we did originally that were falling apart, now we have 100, okay, almost, that you can go to right now. We have a Facebook page, it's Action for Literacy. You want to look at it, love to do that. But it's the people that were most passionate about it. After about a year and a half, they said, I'm going to donate a truck. Okay, it's our super reader mobile. One of them said, I'm going to donate a truck. Someone else said, okay, I'm going to pay for the vinyling of it. Someone else said, we're going to raise some funds, okay, to pay the insurance of it. Now we have Action for Literacy Corps as a registered 501(c) nonprofit, and we actually can take in grant money from different opportunities. But the weird thing is, okay, that we really don't need that much money to make it work. It's like sometimes share the passion. If you have a sheet of plywood, 3/4 and exterior plywood, okay, bring it to us, okay, or donate a couple of dollars so we can build it. The Christian Life Center has a youth employment program where they have the youth do carpentry one time, electrical stuff another time, plumbing another event. Every time they do the carpentry, one of the kitchen maker congregants show them how to build the little library. Then we combining them at a public event, okay, where we have teachers, homeowners, presidents, people of the community come together where we kind of build them, decorate them, and then install them in the community. So it's all community driven. So sometimes for me, money is not the most important thing. And maybe that's one piece of wisdom. Whatever you do in life, start with the vision first to get total, absolute clarity as to what you want to do and why you want to do it, right? Sometimes you have these great ideas, but they're not going to move the needle. It's not relevant to the community that you want to do it for. Make sure it's relevant, that you have clarity, and don't talk about money up front. You need to share the vision with someone because the money will follow. You know, when we did our first fundraiser for the little libraries, we had 40 libraries out there before we even talked about money.
Right.
And it was a dirty word. It's like money is a dirty word. It's like it kind of complicated things afterward, right? Because then you have to get an accountant involved and legal things and this and that. It was so much more of a mess, okay, because we had people who were building it for free. We had people that says, I'm going to buy the materials for free. So we had them all giving something, okay, because they wanted to be part of that, because the vision compelled them to be part of it.
Right.
Money kind of screwed it up.
Right. And it was selfless as well. And it was, right, selfless as well, George, right? Selfless without the fruits of.
Right. Of, that's what the Rotary Club is about. Service, yeah, above self, right?
Absolutely.
It's a great organization, right? And we spent about $2 million worth of, $2 million over the last 40 years to give away for scholarships of deserving kids in Fort Lauderdale. Okay. That's one of the mainstays. We're doing a toy drives, okay, for kids and elderly that are homebound. It's amazing what our club does. There's so many great service companies, and they give back because they care. And the most magnificent part is it's like-minded people coming together. That's what volunteering is about, right? I have a volunteer leadership council. That's people that actually care, and we get together once a month, okay, and share our successes. We share our dreams. Here's what we want to do next. The funny part is, okay, there's people out there that want to do sustainability and they care about cleaning the beach and they're cleaning the waterways, but they're always there to help out, okay, to do a fundraiser for Action for Literacy. All people that care for Action for Literacy, they're going to be right behind you, okay, helping out with cleaning the beach.
Absolutely.
We all care about that, okay? It's like it's a family that you choose to be part of, right?
Right.
And that's the beauty of volunteering, okay? If you find that, okay, think about if you get that spirit going at your company, what is the spirit between your employees going to look like, right? It's just from an HR standpoint, like people don't normally care. It's like, but if you get them inspired, it's something that bonds them together, has nothing to do with business. It's a great HR team building concept.
Right.
It doesn't need to cost you anything. It can be used as a marketing tool in the community. And it's like, it's magnificent what it can do. And it's little cost. And just call me.
Right. That is a great, George. Yeah, that is a great, great, great segue. That's a great segue about, you know, just the benefit for the business as well, right? Engagement, you know, the spirit of community within the company, right? And it has many other benefits to your point. Businesses shouldn't do that just for that, but there are ancillary benefits such as retention and engagement and so forth, you know? So George, look, that was absolutely superb. I got the last couple of segments now, the quick round. All right, you've done a, you did a really nice kind of close there for businesses and a call of action. So in real quick fashion, George, what would you change in business or life? What would you change?
What would I change? You know something? In business, in my business right now, I would change nothing because I'm in an absolutely perfect spot because I love what I do.
Right? Yeah.
Like yeah. I always say, look, if you can make money at doing something that you love to do, that's your hobby, great. I found my passion. I found a place in life. It only took me 50 years to get there, but so I would change nothing.
Right.
What I would love to see is, like, I would love to grow as a leader and out speaking out about opportunities, right, on behalf of early literacy, okay? That would be something for me as a personal growth. I would love to see that for people. Like, we build community, okay, is a passion of mine. It's a slogan and the motto of the city of Fort Lauderdale, but it's like a passion, okay? And we, as a society, have stepped away from that. We need to come back to that. We need to make a commitment to each other that we want to be caring about one another, that we want to be interconnected, that we want to be respectful to one another, right? I mean, we want to be loving to one another as a brother and a friend, right? Okay, those are things, okay, we should be really putting, those values we should be putting up there and kind of shine a light there, okay? It's like that Hollywood thing there. It's like put the highlight in a spot, okay? It's not the Hollywood sign, but it's like love, connectivity, integrity.
Yes.
We're missing that. Missing is the integrity where we actually grateful for is... my job right now, you probably got that, right?
Yes.
Grateful for every single one of my volunteers.
Wow.
Because they're really caring about what they do, right? And it's magnificent, okay, when you go in there. And when we do it like a service project, I mean, the biggest thing I ever did was 52 different things. And one of them was painting our dilapidated old city hall, okay, with 400 volunteers. And 70 artists of them, okay? And we had 600 people throughout the city, same time, same date, with no city support. I was the only city employee. And this is all community-driven, right? So volunteers can make a huge difference because we got the community behind it, we got church groups behind it, we got businesses behind it. That's my fun part, right? And that's like what I'm grateful for is those opportunities that I can do every single day. Actually, yeah. I have to be grateful for you right now, because when I told you, okay, my biggest thing is fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
I wasn't kidding, right? But you made it comfortable for me to share what we're talking about, right? Okay, so I'm grateful for you, to you right now, okay, for having asked me to be part of this. And actually, you know, some I'm excited because whoever is listening right now, out there right now, can make a difference every single time they do something, right? It's a small little thing. I would love to see what kind of 1 hour, let's say the power of 1 hour acts of kindness we could do.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like we all say 1 day a week or 2 days a week, we just spend 1 hour doing something nice for someone else in the community. It could be picking up the groceries for the elderly lady down the street. It would be giving back to read to a child, whatever it is that is passionate to you. It's not about me. It's about you. It's like, be inspired about something that is meaningful to you. Tap into that power. If you don't know where to go, call George. I love to talk to you, right? But that's what I'm grateful for, right? Okay. And you really, just thinking about this interview right now, it really allowed me a new avenue of looking at it. It's like, what is it that I would like to do in the future? What is keeping me small again? It's going back to my limiting belief that I'm not big enough, not good enough, and I can't express myself. And while I look through our outline, it's like, do you know something? I should be writing some type of book, okay, that I can share.
What's your one piece of advice to them?
Find out what you are passionate about and what your team is passionate about, and inspire them and empower to take action around that. I might not be the one to help you, so you don't have to necessarily come to me. But if you need guidance, call me, but be passionate about something. Everyone has a passion within them. Find out what it is, inspire them, and empower them to take action on that. And the key word is action. Don't talk about it. Take action.
Perfect. George, this was fabulous. Thank you so much. I loved your passion. If listeners could see that, I mean, it's just fantastic. I see in your eyes, and we're on Zoom, of course, but fabulous. And thank you so much. I'm so thrilled. I'm hoping that, we change at least one life. That was our motto when we first started this, George. So,
I have the belief that the listener that got something out of this for themselves, and they share what they got out of them, and we're going to have a ripple effect, okay? People making a difference.
Absolutely right.
Everyone, once upon their life, is passionate about something, okay? Let that passion go.
Thank you so much, George. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate this session.
Well, thank you, Richard. Okay, absolute pleasure on my side.
Absolutely.
Thank you, okay? You empowered me to step up on my game.
Thank you so much, George. I hope that you found today's session valuable. If so, please follow me on Instagram @outcome.richard and post your comments. Thank you again. Until the next podcast.